Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. What do you think off of Friday night if you watch the whole thing? 301-230-0980. You can weigh in on anything team-wise. Let me just say here on a Monday, and we'll certainly get into this later in the week, I'd really like to see, I'm not worried about, you know, Marcus Mariota not being able to take snaps in the preseason. Doesn't bother me at all. I mean, as long as he's ready for the opener to back up Jaden, you need a strong backup quarterback. Hopefully they have one. I actually liked the guy that came in after Hartman. I thought he actually looked the part a little bit. Kalikmanis, I think, is the way you pronounce his name.
Kalikmanis,
yeah. Kalikmanis?
Yep. It's very Greek. Manis. Very
yeah,
Greek.
It is Greek. That's a good observation, Max. I thought, you know, he looks big. He looks like he can make some reads and throws. He took a couple sacks, whatever. There's no game planning again. I'd like to see the starters out there for at least a series or two against Detroit, both sides of the ball. I mean, you're not going to be this game isn't until September 13th. I know there's one more joint practice with the Ravens, correct? There is that one more joint practice. But they don't have a joint practice this week. I think part of the reason you hold out a lot of the players that you held out on Friday night is that they, you know, participated in a major way during the joint practice. All right, let's start with Tom in Columbia. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I think I have a lot of red flags this JD5. Situation of the numbers.
Wait, I'm sorry, you broke up at the beginning, Tom. Say it again.
Okay, I was just saying I got some major red flags concerning this number controversy with JD5, and It has very little to do with the business transaction or the situation between legal entities. My greater concern stems from the fact that his mother is a Regina.
Regina
Jackson.
Regina. Yeah.
Is clearly in the driver's seat of this young man's life. And I think what that points to, there's rather vocal terms you can use that he needs to untuck his balls and become a man. I think he's physically gifted, but she's clearly in the driver's seat. And I think until he can move her to the passenger seat, it's going to stunt his ability to be a leader of men. And the quarterback position in the NFL requires that direct leadership. And I think that systemically, there's an issue with many of these young athletes coming in where they're mama controlled. I mean, recently the Steve Bisciotti made a comment post year concerning his quarterback, and if you read between the lines, they asked him, is he the leader? And he said that he's got a say just like everybody else. But there's a growth issue, and to me it's a huge red flag. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's actually really hard to disagree with that right now. It is a concern for me. Yes, it wasn't a concern prior to this. Now, did we know that she was over-the-top controlling and a lot of the situations that we've read about, you know, dates that he's had where she's shown up, and who knows how much that's, you know, exaggerated or even just fabricated. But the Netflix series, she was, look, part of it is she actually has a personality, and all due respect to him, he really doesn't. I couldn't care less if my quarterback has a personality or not, but he's not made for that kind of intimate portrait of what Netflix does with quarterback. And by the way, it's not unusual for the parents to be involved on that show when they don't, when the player doesn't have a wife or a significant other in their life. But I will, at this point, there is a sense of celebrity that I think she has. This is projecting. This is from afar. It's also based on conversations that I've had with various people. She's enamored with being a part of the celebrity that comes with her son's success. And by the way, I've heard very bright. She's obviously very bright. She's a certified agent now. But it's that LA thing where all of a sudden she's as much of a celebrity. And you, to your point, there's no indication at this point that he's having any trouble and that the players would view him any differently as a potential leader. My concern would be more that what happened late last week happens again. And this is where I think organizationally, or really he does. He's a grown man now at 25 years old. All right, parents, I said this earlier. Sports, you know, the parents of the controlling sports parent, they create so many more problems than they solve. I've seen it so many times in my own personal experiences, even coaching youth sports. They create more problems than they solve. And she created a major problem the other day and a major distraction. Is it going to impact the way he plays or leads? No, but is the possibility of another distraction coming down the road if she sees herself as sort of a big part of the story? She's not. She's not a part of this story. He's a professional football player, and they have to make sure that she is not a part of the story anymore. She's his agent and mother, and no one would, you know, say she can't continue to be, obviously, the mother and the agent as well. But she's not Drew Rosenhaus. She's not Mulugeta. She's not one of these power agents in sports at this point. And even they aren't sitting there doing what happened the other day, creating a major distraction. They've got too much experience. Look, somebody, hopefully, if she doesn't get the message, and I would assume she's bright enough to understand that this did not go well. This was a major self-inflicted, unforced public relations error that impacted and distracted not only her son, but the team. But in many ways, the worst part of this is really damaged him with the LSU fan base and the LSU program. That's a shame. Now, with respect to all the other complicated legal stuff, name, image, likeness, I'm not sitting here telling you that they don't have a case, but the way they went about presenting the case publicly, a couple of you tweeted me and said, this is media-driven. Media-driven? We didn't know anything about it until they went to the media and made it a media story. They took it to ESPN. The Daniels family took it to ESPN. They very likely, I would bet big money, leaked the cease and desist letter. And I think they did it with the sole purpose of there was a belief that he is already God's gift to football and that everybody would back him. LSU fans would back him. Redskin fans would back him. NFL media and fans would back him and would see how crazy it is that LSU gave out his number. No, they didn't see it that way. And most of us could have said to them before they did it, don't do this. Don't do this. This is not a good idea. And the timing of it is bad. So, yeah, I have... Look, she's going to be at the center of it next offseason with a contract negotiation, which could be, based on how he plays this year, the largest contract any athlete's ever signed in the sport of football. Any football player's ever signed. But hopefully this backfired to such a degree that she and anybody else, because it could have been others too, all right, we're going to back off. Our son's a professional football player. We're not employed by the team. We're not a part of the team. We are just fans of him and the team, and that's how we'll conduct ourselves moving forward. And, of course, she's got her, obviously, responsibility as an agent. Okay, let's go to Peter in Wilmington. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. As far as that last subject, I could care less about it. I just want them to win games. I know it could be a problem, but, you know, I don't see that much. I don't see it that way. But that's just
Doesn't matter whether you see it that way or not. And, of course, yeah. The games matter, and they matter to me the most as well. But she damaged his reputation last week, or the people around him damaged his reputation to a degree with LSU that some people believe is unrecoverable. That's sad, and I feel for him if that's true. Okay. I don't believe that it's true. I think, you know, time passes and things get fixed, especially if you're good-intentioned, and I believe he is. But go ahead. What do you got on the game?
Yeah. Okay, on the game, I see the center, the rookie, Matt Golden. He looked really well. 6'4", 320 pounds or so. That's a nice pickup. He was running pretty good. So, but I really think this division is so close, and it may be the best division in the NFC, even though all four teams are a lot better. And a 10-win division leader may, a 10-win, 7-losses record might win the division. And so I think we're going to start off really slow because we're new here with everything. And we might have a shot at it if we can pick a couple games off because we don't look that organized right now. I'm worried about the first part of the year.
Okay. As it relates to Golden, my personal thought is it's really hard for me personally to evaluate offensive line play unless it's so obvious, because you just don't know what their responsibilities are. And a big part of Matt Golden's responsibilities is as a communicator. And so that's really hard for us to know whether or not he did that well or not. But I thought physically, I thought physically he looked good. Thanks for the call, Peter. Let's go to our guy, Mark in Largo. Mark, what's up?
Hey, look, about the game, I just want to talk about the game and leave it at the game. Sonny did struggle out there. I was a little surprised, but I think Sonny will pick it up, and we're going to see it. I'm telling you, Kevin, it's going to be like with Jaden 2 years ago. First two games with Jaden, we were like, oh, did we draft the right guy? And when he went to Cincinnati, all hell broke loose. So he's going to have that game, and maybe in Philly. It's probably going to be in Dallas because he's going to be going up against Caleb. But I definitely would not shock me if it's going to be in Philly. I think he'll come back. I love how Henry played. I think Henry played, and I think that puts pressure on Luke McCaffrey, because if you see, Luke had no catches on Friday, and that's a problem when you're in a wide receiver competition like you had. Everybody else had catches, and he didn't have it. And I know the president of the Luke McCaffrey fan club, Grant Paulson, and the VP, Awad, Adam Epstein, and all these other people on YouTube who swear up and down Luke's going to make the team, you better rethink that if he's not producing in these games. Because if he's not producing in these games, there's a very good chance he'll be playing in a different uniform, probably in San Francisco. What's up, Kevin? How you doing, my 63-year-old older brother?
So let me just real quickly, let me just real quickly address the first part of your call, because I know and I could sense that there's a little bit of concern in your voice that Sonny Styles didn't look like Lawrence Taylor in two series of the first preseason game of his rookie year. Can I just tell you to just step off the ledge? It's going to be okay. Nothing about Sonny Styles that should be taken seriously at all, other than what I mentioned, which is Kinlaw, Payne, Settle. They're going to have to do a good job up front. You don't want with his body type at this point, you don't want him taking on double teams or big offensive linemen when he's going to be required to be involved in stopping the run. You got to be a good run-stopping team, and they're going to have their best run stoppers on the field against Philadelphia in the opener on early downs. I hope it's him, but I wouldn't be concerned about every. I know it seems like you're very, very concerned, and I don't think you should be.
Kevin, can I talk? Can I talk?
Sure. Yes. Right.
The thing I loved about this was he wanted to go back in the game, and I think he realized he wants to get better and he wants to be great. And I think that's the thing I love about Sonny. You know, I heard this guy on the Junkies this morning trashing him, and I'm like, wow, you got all that from one game, and it wasn't even
well. Not
really
one
fast.
Game, I mean, two series or three series. How many series did he play, Max?
With certain situations two. After two series.
He played two series. I mean, seriously, did somebody actually call in and say that? Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Our fan look, base, man, some of the people on our fan base. You guys live on social media too much, seriously. It's just not – this time of year, it's really not a great guide to good sort of reactions and decision-making. What else did you have, Mark? Because it's still your turn to talk.
Well, I do think Lou McCaffrey needs to play better the next 2 weeks. Okay. You can't have zero
catches. You might be right. Yeah.
And truth be told, they can get anybody to punt and kickoff returns. Anybody. So people sitting up here saying –
well, not anybody, but they have options. Well, they have options.
They have options. And I think Henry played well, which I think puts pressure on Luke McCaffrey to perform as a receiver. When you got other people performing as receivers, you got to show up in these games, Luke. You know, your VP and your
I guarantee you, how he showed up in practice and joint practices is just as important as how he showed up the other night to the coaches. They're not making the decision solely on how he's playing in these preseason games. In fact, it's probably a very little part of his – it's a small part of his grade. With that said, though, Mark, and we've been talking about this pretty much since training camp began or since the offseason began – the cut down to seven receivers, if that's the number, is not going to be easy. That's for sure. And I will say this until it doesn't happen or it happens. Van Jefferson, they really would like to see on this football team. And if for some reason they had to turn him loose, it would really be painful for them, which is why I don't think they're going to do it. All right, thank you, Mark and Largo. Let's go to Jamal in D.C. Jamal, go ahead.
What's going on, Kevin?
How are you, Jamal?
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking my call, as always, man. Mark, man, I actually disagree with Mark. I do think Luke's going to make this team, and I think it's more so of AP trying to prove himself right with a pick, more so than him actually earning his way on here. Ben Sennett, though, I do think we need him. He might, because Yankoff and all them other guys, like, that tight end room is crazy. We already know we can pencil in Chain.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I do think Ben Sennett, he might need to be, you know, look, keep his head on the swivel. But I enjoyed the Hamilton, man. He stood out the most out of everybody. Goodness gracious, that guy was out there flying around just
He did
moving,
last
man.
Year, too, when he got opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I really enjoyed my guy Cadillac Manis, the quarterback. I like him, Kevin. He reminded me of your favorite Redskin ever, Kirk Cousins. He definitely reminded me of him. He looked like him a lot.
I don't know about that. Like him, I don't know about that. Yeah.
I liked him, man. He looked very poised. He looked like he looked like someone who played 40 plus games for me.
He did take sacks that seemed like they – and I'll look it up real quickly. I'm going to guess it felt like it was over 60 yards worth of sacks. Hold on. I know. That's an exaggeration. Two sacks, 22 yards lost. So an average of 11 yards per sack lost. You know, it's kind of upon the quarterback. When possible, sometimes it's not possible – to minimize the yardage loss. There, nothing derails a drive more than a sack does. Incompletions don't derail drives more. Obviously, turnovers do. But sacks, penalties don't even derail drives as much as sacks do, because with penalties, you get the down back in most cases. Jamal, thanks, though. Appreciate it. And I'm definitely with you on Hamilton. He really popped the other night, as he did at the end of the regular season last year. Nick in Virginia Beach. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? What's up, Max? Thank you guys for taking my call. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm well. Thanks.
That's good. Yeah, no worries. So I have a couple thoughts. I'm going to go back to what Mark and Largo said just about Luke McCaffrey real fast. I do think Luke's going to make the team, but I really did think that Jalen Lane really made it look difficult for Luke to make the team. I thought he looked better at wide receiver, but that's not why I really called. I thought Hartman looked rough. I think if he wasn't JD Five's boy, he wouldn't be on the team. I thought Rasul Douglas looked a bit slow, but most importantly, it wasn't even like the preseason game that I was paying attention to Friday. It was the fact that your best defensive player in Dorrance Armstrong from a year ago is suspended for the season opener against Philadelphia.
Oh, and right. You know what? I forgot to mention that. Yep.
I know we upgraded hypothetically the defensive line with Owe and Jason, and I know Joseph's look good, but I mean, we know Armstrong. We know he's a sure thing. He's a gamer. And
yeah,
against a division opponent in week one on the road at the Link, that's a hurtful loss, man. That's a hurtful loss. He's going to be missed in those pass rush situations, especially when Hurts is learning a new offense under Sean Mannion.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, hold on. I'm just looking for the my fault. I'm looking for the story from Friday because it happened Friday after the show, and I had it on my list to mention, and I just didn't mention it yet. For those that didn't see it and weren't paying attention necessarily a lot to the preseason game, I get a lot. Yeah. So Dorrance Armstrong suspended for the first game of the regular season against Philadelphia. And it's a violation of the NFL's personal conduct policy. He's allowed to participate in all preseason activities, including games. The suspension will begin on August 30th. He'll be eligible again on September 14th.
Nicky Javala
said, "What did he do?"
So Nicky Javala. So that's the big question that everybody was asking. So Nicky tweeted shortly after that this was announced that public records show Dorrance Armstrong was arrested May 10th, 2025, in Frisco, Texas, on misdemeanor charges of assault, causing bodily injury, and resisting arrest. Deferred adjudication for both. That's the tweet.
Okay. All right. So, look, he's not ready, really. I mean, he's back at practice. I don't know how much he was going to play in these preseason games, given that he's coming off, obviously, the serious injury. It'd be nice to have him in the opener, but now that we know he's not in the opener, you can pretty much, I think, pencil in Chaisson and Owe as your outside edge rushers. Now, how they'll line up in pre-snap, and I'm telling you, I've said this a couple times. I think I cannot wait to see what the defense looks like more than the offense, because it's so new with so many new players and a new coordinator. What's it really going to look like against Philadelphia? Who's going to be on the field as early down, hopefully, run stoppers? Who's going to be on the field when there is an obvious second long or third and long pass situation? It really, given the players that were held out of the game, all right, let's go through that list. Where is that list? I mean, the fact that Reeves and Cross were held out of the game, I'm going to do this when we come back. You know, what did we learn by the players who sat? Because I do think that there's at least at one position something meaningful to take away. So I'll get to that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop.
Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Is the injury bug biting in Ashburn? Trey Amos, I think there's real concern level there. I don't know what's happening there. Jeremy McNichols, valuable piece for this team. It seems like that's a couple weeks away. I would not be shocked. We just spoke with Nicky Jabala from The Athletic if he lands on that short-term IR list. How worried are you about all of these things? Let's start with Sean in Falls Church. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, bro.
I think that, again, it's not like a like for like, but when we got Diggs and then LT went down, it was kind of like up, down, good and the bad kind of come together with Amos being out. But then, Allegretti getting a little bit better. It's kind of been, two positions that we've been looking at, the cornerback room and the interior line room. I feel like it's kind of not a like for like, obviously, but, if Amos is out there, once he's out there, great. That's when I'm feeling better. But yes, it's a level of concern, but getting Allegretti back feels a lot better. And then McNichols, I guess I'm feeling he's huge again. Like you guys say, like in that third and 13, he's getting 14. But I do think it just puts a little bit more on Rashad White, which I'm okay with because I think that was a signing that, that helps Jaden a lot, Eckler-esque, if you will.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Appreciate the call, Sean. Thanks, buddy.
Cheers.
Like, if Rasul Douglas wasn't on this team, I may be worried more. But I believe that dude right there is going to be a vital part of this team moving forward and can be a help until Trey is completely back out there. And looking at McNichols, as much as he does, they don't utilize him as much.
No.
So, watching Fat Man and Henry the other night, I think you see something in those guys that can kind of hold this stuff together until then. So I'm not nothing has come out where these guys are out for the rest of the year, this, that, and the other. I would be concerned if something like that, but nothing like that has come. And I think you got some hungry young dudes on the squad now. And Rasul is...
I like Rasul a lot,
one, bro. Yeah,
you'd like to have Amos. I think I have some real concerns about where Trey Amos is. We have Dan Quinn talking about Amos from yesterday, correct? Tell me when you boys are ready. Obviously, Trey suffered the injury last fall, broken leg, but now that's not the issue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You ready, Jeffrey? Tell me when you're good, because I think Quinn talking about this is relevant.
I'm optimistic, but you're right about the practice piece. Like, as we're coming back with Nick Allegretti, he had 6 reps in practice 1 and was injured. So, I'm excited for him to get back to practice, and we all need it. And so that'll be an important piece for Trey too, to get back to saying, okay, not only just the movements, the skills, the conditioning. So, there's certainly concern. He's working hard, but with these next, 2.5 weeks, I would say those would be important, Nikki, to see the progress, to say, okay, ramping up hard, almost there into that spot. And so maybe in a week's or so time, I'll have a better estimate to say, okay, they do this return to play, which I love following, but I need to see each of the steps made.
He's saying another week's time, and then it's a young man that, as Nikki said, practiced once since November. Mm-hmm. So I get the feeling with Amos, zero chance we're seeing him in preseason.
More likely. But like the thing of it though, he's practiced once. He was rehabbing most of the time. So that's work. But that is like, you look at the situation where, okay, well, shouldn't these other guys play? But this guy got to go play. If nobody really has to go out and play, they can all just wait till the regular season and play.
I hear you.
Like the thing about it, when the guy is not out there practicing, don't mean he's not out running around doing something. And I still feel he needs to get out there and start doing some things, as Dan would say. But we're not holding everybody else to the same level like that. And that is a concern. I'm more concerned about that. Like, yeah, this guy got to be able to go out there, but no, we're not going to play this guy over here. You know what I'm saying?
You know, there's a fellow named S. Talk Carter on the line. Hello, S. Talk Carter.
Yes, sir. What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
What's up, baby?
What's going on, bro?
Man, what's going on? Man, I ain't called it since S. Talk. It's been that long. Yeah, rain.
What have you been waiting on?
I've been growing up. I was a baby since then, man. Military work, DHS, you know it.
Oh yeah.
But I'm about as concerned as the injury bug as I am with the lottery ticket that I didn't win. And I only say that to say, with all of the guys injured, with that roughly five guys injured,
mm-hmm.
it's five Pro Bowls spread across all five of them, right? But they all belong to one guy. So that's the one I'm the most concerned with, and that's Laramie Tunsil, right? Trey is extremely athletic, prototypical corner. That's what we was looking for. But if we remember right, we was Teeks last year, and he was on that field, right? So there's some guys behind those guys that are gifted as well, and they wondering how these guys made, but they are part of that team that lost the way that they did. Granted, there was extenuating circumstances with the injury, but I'm pretty sure we got a lot of guys that's trying to get out there on the field. So seeing as though we aren't some perennial playoff team, I'm not as concerned with that. Just so long as the ace is okay, and that's JD, I'm pretty sure the rest can work itself out.
All right, bro.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
He brings up a great point there because it happened so early in preseason, the Tunsil injury,
mm-hmm.
that we've kind of stopped talking about it. I actually disagreed with Tischler on this. I'm curious where you land. Because I said, like, after the joint practice with the Dolphins, they really couldn't run the ball well. Like, the starters, mm-hmm. like Bill and what is now their starting offensive line, that was the one area I thought the Dolphins looked pretty good. And I thought their defensive line the other night looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got some guys on that D-line. And I said, well, you know, they're down two starting offensive linemen, and that's going to be an issue. And Mitch's contention is, like, you can't count Tunsil anymore. Like, we know he's going to be gone for a while. And I think that's crazy. He's arguably their best player.
Yeah.
And if he's not one, he's two on both importance.
But he won't be on that field until November sometime.
If.
So,
but like, at that I think point, we still have to, like, when we talk about this injury bug thing, Tunsil's a big part of that.
He's a part of it, but it's different in a sense where you're expecting other guys probably be back before the season start. You're not expecting him before midseason. Right. So whoever's in there now is your starter. And you got to start focusing on his growth, where he's going to go. I think.
But we didn't feel that way with Allegretti.
Because we felt he was going to be back.
Right.
So okay. That is what I'm saying. Allegretti, you're expecting to be there for week one. Tunsil, week 12, 14. It's a cutthroat mindset, but that is exactly how you got to think in football. Once somebody is down, as Doc always said, I talk about the people that are dressing out for the game, not the people that are just on the team.
I'm with you. I think the Amos thing is tough. I do think you're right about bringing Rasul Douglas in,
mm-hmm.
is a huge part of feeling better there. Huge.
Yeah, if they,
and then even Hamilton, like
Hamilton looked, I love the way that kid played, but like if they built this team the way that they expected it to be built, you should have enough faith in at least the first backup that we can get through some stuff. You know what I'm saying? You don't build a team to where when you lose a player, that next player is garbage. You can't build a team like that. And I believe, based off of all of our comments going throughout the offseason, we believe this team is more athletic. more talented, a little stronger, a little weak, little younger, and they should be a lot more effective. So we're going to find that out.
Yeah, it's going to be – we are going to find it out. And I think that's the most telling thing of what's to come. I think I really like the roster construction this offseason by and large. Losing Tunsil on – what day was that? Day three? Day five?
It was early. Yeah, it was early.
I mean, the days all start to blend together, but they signed Diggs. He practices Friday. Tunsil gets hurt Saturday.
Saturday.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, the other part of it, too, is watching Jaden with Diggs and Terry, you feel entirely different about this offense. You just do.
Yeah.
And I thought the receivers the other night were fairly impressive. Like, the ball really got spread around. Like, everybody got looks. I thought... You know, Jalen Lane made a couple nice catches in traffic.
Jalen had like three of them, right?
Yeah, Lane had three catches for 31 yards. Yankoff had two catches. I mean, but B, Jones, Lane, Yankoff, Brown, Bradley, Burks, Williams, Van, Sennett, Catron, 10 dudes caught passes in this
game.
Catron dropped another one that he probably should have had.
Jacoby and also Bradley, bro. It's something about Bradley I really like. There were three punts. He was damn near, he almost got two of them. And the other one, he still had pressure on him. He's what, 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'4", two bills.
Yeah.
I mean, he could probably fill the frame out a little bit. It's an interesting time watching these games and trying to decipher what's going to happen. Would you say, like, Keho made the roster last year? Mm-hmm. Then he has a pick in that first preseason.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that. Keho Medrano is a locked up roster spot at the bottom of the linebackers.
May not be.
You are listening.
They may be battling.
You are listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Coming up at 1:30, Spencer Nussbaum joins the program trying to make sense of this C.J. Abrams move to second base.
Hey, just want to let people know the earliest start time ever for a Cakes Classic at MGM National Harbor is today at 11 a.m. So in less than 5 hours, cards will be in the air. It's part of the Potomac Poker Open Summer Series that is actually wrapping up, I believe, today. The final table of the main event restarts, I think, at 1 o'clock. But my event starts at 11 a.m. I know it's different than usual. It's usually the first Wednesday of every month. Today is the August edition of the Cakes Classic. 11 a.m. Hope to see all of you fellow degenerates.
Starts early.
Yeah, starting super early. I thought it actually started at 4 p.m. up until yesterday. I was telling my wife, I was like, I think I'm going to come home for a little bit, hang out, maybe walk Winnie, then go back out to MGM. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the schedule, the start time, 11 a.m.
You're going straight over there.
So that is today, so hope to see you out there in just a few short hours.
Are you feeling lucky? It is your birthday week, Cakes.
I'm not feeling lucky. I haven't cashed in a single tournament in the calendar year of our Lord, 2026. So I'm not feeling super lucky, but maybe that all changes today.
You can only drive 55 for two or three more days.
Yeah, that is true. I'll be LeVar Arrington and Lawrence Taylor.
I'll tell you what, I'm just so glad we're doing the show from Commander's Park.
I know you are. I'm sure you are.
Instead of getting up at 4:07, I can get up at 5:07.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That's huge, an extra hour.
How long is it going to take me to get to Ashburn from Oxon Hill? From an hour?
From Oxon Hill, because you'll be at MGM.
Yeah.
No.
It's probably an hour, right? 45 minutes? An hour?
At that time of the day, probably.
43 minutes.
Traffic.
Put it in right now.
Yeah,
Put it with the estimated time.
It'll be less than an hour. It'll be less than an hour.
Let's check it.
Now, coming home, different story.
Well, that's fine.
So coming home, it'll be 10.
Not worried about that.
That shouldn't be bad.
Well, we got to stay a little bit late. Talk to some players. An interview?
All right, 11.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't be. Well, it shouldn't be bad, but it will be
as
bad.
As long as we leave before 2.
There's just always traffic right over there at Tyson's going into Maryland, getting over the bridge. It's always.
A little bit, yeah. But what's the worst is when you're stuck on 66. Get off, like you're stuck on the ramp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just backed all the way up.
You can always spend the night at Hotel Bishop tonight.
You can do that.
I want to do it.
I need school to start, and it starts next week.
Loudon
starts
today.
I need
today.
To figure out a childcare situation. My wife teaches early in the morning, so she...
Didn't we determine you could just dump her? Do you just leave her? Isn't she old enough?
I don't think at 9 she's old enough.
I don't think technically, but...
I think it's pretty close.
At nine?
At 9 years old, you can basically trust her not to like burn the house down. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't open the door and just call me if there's a problem. Just
sit in front of the TV, hear some food, and
maybe have a neighbor check on her.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But we'll be at Commander's Park.
Looks like about 46 minutes from Oxon Hill to Ashland.
It's close. Yeah, it's close.
And at 5 in the morning, it'll be about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Or less. You're saying that you're going to be exceeding speed limits, Cakes?
I'll be driving high 70s, probably.
Yes.
Be touching maybe 80.
I'm sure you will. So the Commanders had their first game on Friday night. My buddy Greg was going, and he was all excited. He doesn't follow super closely. I think he was overseas for a long time. And he goes, I'm excited to see Jaden. I was like, yeah, I bet on Jaden to play, but I'm not thinking he's going to play now. And they held out a couple dozen players.
Yep.
26. That was the reported number.
It's funny how some coaches, their mentality is to start guys for a series or two, and then there's some coaches that say, not worth it. We're not going to start one guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird.
I think if you're super, super secure in your job, you might throw your starters out there for a series or two.
Yeah.
That doesn't really jibe with Sean McVay. He's pretty secure in his job. Secure, he doesn't play anybody. But like if you're kind of entering a hot seat-ish type of season like Dan Quinn, you're really going to get one of your guys banged up. Your critical guys
could see,
banged up in the first preseason game.
If it were
game.
Me, I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just much more interesting to see, even though you're going to see him for a series, to see the starters.
Yeah, I thought that was silly. But I think game two was the one where I would maybe play him a quarter, maybe.
Yeah.
That's even that in
might
doubt
not,
now.
That might not happen.
Was there anything you could truly take out of that game? Because there were some performances that were okay, but they were by guys that you're not going to really see.
The running back?
Robert Henry.
Well, even like Jaden Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
Nice story.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a practice squad player.
Those are stories for you're building
Jaden Bradley,
the math
boy.
The first drive, and I don't know what you put of this, the first drive was by the Dolphins.
Right down the field.
14 plays, 93 yards.
Yep.
So there were some starters on the field, like Sonny Styles.
Yeah. That wasn't a great look. That was the one thing they harped on post-game, was that
Quinn
first
said
drive.
That. Yeah.
Not happy about that, but from there on out, it was pretty good.
But it was still one drive.
Fun drive, but you want to start the game, especially with what few starters you do have out there. You want to start with a little more intensity than that. You don't want to just
I mean, they went right down the field.
A terrible team.
Yeah. But it's not your starting defensive lineup. Compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't make too much of a generalization about it.
But. Right, the reports from the joint scrimmage was when they matched up, Malik Willis had no time.
Washington dominated, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you can't take almost anything out of it. I know all eyes were on Sonny. Because you know he's the first round draft pick, but who knows what their calls were? It's probably very generic.
Yeah,
and they didn't have the defensive line. Miami's playing their starters.
Yeah, there was a viral clip I'm sure you saw where they had every one of his plays.
Yeah,
and it's just difficult to make of it. So
yeah,
you know,
can't put too much stock.
Dan into it. Afterwards said that he was pleased with his with the play of Sonny and Leo Chenal. So who knows?
Even though Achane was running right up the middle.
Yeah, just take him at his word.
15 yards.
So he is a stud.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Some good news. Quinn said that tomorrow, John Bates, who's been out with the hamstring, and Nick Allegretti, who's been out with the calf, will actually return to practice.
All right, that's good. Get them back.
So they are getting healthier.
Trey Amos still unknown.
We did get to see Katron Allen a lot, fat man.
Yeah.
Scored.
Didn't have a dynamite per carry, but just,
sub 4 yards per carry.
I think it was 3.7.
Yeah, but he and Henry ran for $160 combined.
Yeah, they did what they should do.
That's what I don't know what to make of it when a guy like Robert Henry has a big day. Like again, nice story.
No,
but he's probably not
going to
be
70.
On the active roster.
Yeah, earns him a job on the 70 maybe.
But our guy Warren Sharp was impressed by Katron Allen because he had 0 negative yard rushes.
I think that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a power back and a lean forward and get you a couple yards.
He became the only running back to have 20 plus rushes in a preseason game and not lose any yardage on a single rush in the last decade.
Yeah, he's a guy who's got a nose for the end zone. So if you're close in short yardage situation, he's got to find a way to get it in there. So a reliable piece.
Did you have any other big takeaways watching it?
Big
when there's
takeaways?
Such scrubs,
no.
I actually felt bad for Helly and Riggins, and it's almost like when you get to the end of those games, it's almost like you just got to create conversations. You're not even paying any attention to the game.
You got to dig deep.
Right.
You got to dig deep.
Oh, we got Terry McLaurin on the sideline. Let's interview him.
Sure, of course. Yeah. You're kicking it down to the sideline reporter.
But you know what? It's
with the quickness.
You can't take much from it, especially when the starters don't play, but at least we know we're getting closer.
Put it this way.
We're getting closer.
One of the highlights, according to DQ, was how the backup quarterbacks managed the end of the second quarter and the end of the game situations.
Right.
So in other words, how they just kept the clock moving, they handled the last 3 minutes, and didn't turn the ball over to the other team.
Although that Hartman did highlights. Turn the Hartman ball over.
No, he turned the ball over, but I'm saying in that last possession. That's what he does.
Let's just call it what it is. He's Jaden Daniels' buddy. Put him on the offensive staff. Make him a quality control assistant.
He's
got to
be a future QB coach, right?
That's fine.
Probably.
Let's end this charade that he's ever going to play in the NFL as and ever going to get a start at quarterback. It's absurd.
I don't know who thinks he's going to get a start. Who thinks he's going to get a start? He's a time killer. He's got to kill time.
Like last year when they needed a starter, they went to Jeff Driscoll.
Right.
Yeah.
They went outside of the building.
Yeah.
Like, this is not your guy.
He knows the system. He can kill some quarters in the preseason where you don't want to start Jaden. That's why he's there. And he's Jaden's buddy.
It's amazing.
He's probably Blau's buddy too.
Yeah.
When we go through some of the games at 7:45 in the Junkies Blitz, it's amazing to see some of the names that are still in the league. Case Keenum is still
a guy's a survivor.
Right, but he's grinding. Had success.
He's had some success, but primarily been a backup.
For sure, but he's had success. So if you've proven
amazing
success.
Amazing how long he's been in the league.
You can last 10, 15 years. You know, you have a couple
how much
years.
Money he's earned.
I think Case Keenum came in a preseason game, was like 9 for 10.
Yeah.
Because he knows what he's doing.
Well, right.
Here's why he's doing it. Because he's earned $57 million in his career.
Yeah. Of course.
And he'll probably play for 3 or 4 more years.
Yeah, it depends on how old he is. How old is he?
I mean, he's 38.
Five. Oh, so
he's older than I thought.
Yeah,
so
he's coming. This is
a year or two more. He'll play till he's 40.
He'll play till they tell him to not play anymore.
Yeah.
Because he's not risking his body. He's just going out there and throwing a ball around to his buddies and collecting a fat check.
Signed a two-year, $5.5 million contract with Chicago in 2026.
And Sam Hartman's trying to do the same thing.
Of course.
Just stay in the league.
He knows.
Somehow. Well,
by now, Sam Hartman knows.
He knows.
Because we know. He knows.
Case Keenum has been in the league since 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, like, Sam Hartman is not going to be in the league past 2026 training camp.
I thought they were going to cut him last year. I was stunned that they held on.
You think he's
going to
latch on with another team?
No.
Probably not, but he might.
I see coaching in his future. He's a pretty boy. He'll look good on the sideline. And maybe he's some offensive wizard, and he can someday be the next hot young coordinator.
Sure. Or maybe do TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Or go model underwear or something.
Man, could you gather anything?
Get an OnlyFans so Valdez can order.
Could you gather anything from the new offense, the David Blau offense?
No, I don't think they show you much.
You really couldn't.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're under center.
They're not going to show you much.
Yeah.
Specific. It's going to be very blah. That's why.
Blah. Got to wait to the regular season.
Blah.
That's why you got to wait to the regular season. I know everyone clamors for these preseason games, but it's just, you just got to grit your teeth, get through it. Yeah. Try to enjoy it for what it is. It's football.
Uniforms look good.
Uniforms look great. That might have been what won the
it's
day.
The best takeaway.
It was good
that
seeing.
That might have been what won
it
the
was good
day.
Seeing Helly up there in the booth.
Yeah. Of course. He's a great guy.
Well, I think they are inching towards bringing Redskins back. I don't think they ever will.
I don't think they
ever
will.
But they added, they brought Braves on the Warpath back during the song.
They're going to bring back as much as they can.
Yes. Yeah.
As much as they feel like they can get away with.
Yeah.
Which I'm here for.
It'd be great if they could, but I just think it's a pipe dream. But, get back to me in 10 years.
What were they singing instead of Braves on the Warpath at that part of the song?
Something Commanders related that was terrible.
Is it Commanders on the Warpath?
No.
I don't think they were saying Warpath, were
no,
they?
No, they weren't. They dropped that line entirely, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Fight
for our Commanders. Which should be shot straight directly
into
the
song. Fight for our Commanders.
Yeah. I mean, come on, it's so bad.
But really, the biggest story is the Mariota injury. Not that it's particularly devastating. It's right. It's a sprained MCL. But I don't believe he'll be back before week one. And then now suddenly, playing Jaden even just for a little bit is questionable, because if Jaden got hurt, God forbid, you'd be down to your third quarterback. And we actually don't even really have a third quarterback. The other guys are just
right.
Just
you wouldn't guys. Even watch the games.
Yeah. So
well, it was a big story. It was number one top story on ESPN.com.
It was the biggest takeaway, I think, from the game.
I couldn't believe it. That it was the top story.
That's because your ESPN.com is catered to what you're looking at. So the Commanders thing popped up top.
Okay. It was still up there. I was shocked. Yeah. There's a backup quarterback getting hurt.
Yeah.
Well, and he's out for a couple weeks.
Yeah. So.
Hey, they got a win for what it's worth.
Worth nothing.
20-7 win.
That means nothing.
Oh, the kickers. We had a doink.
We had a doink.
Moody had a doink. All right.
Yeah, but that's still not great.
It's a doink, but goes in.
I think it was on a shorty.
It was. But I think he's been missing left, right? So clearly maybe overcompensating because that one went right. Yeah, just
what
whatever.
Was that?
His job is very tenuous.
It was a 29-yarder, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a confidence booster is the reason I bring it up.
Hey, Stevens hit the 41-yarder.
Both of them hit their field goals. Moody, 1-for-1 with the 29-yarder. And Stevens, 1-for-1 with the 41-yarder.
I hope
they both
that,
made their extra points.
Personally, I hope that, and I'm sure this is the case, that Moody is renting in Ashburn and didn't buy property in Ashburn.
I think most of them are. The NFL.
They're on a month-to-month, year-to-year basis.
They're not stupid. Yeah. They know the business. They know the business. I think the other thing was that 3 turnovers. I think, you know, that's obviously going to be a point of emphasis. It doesn't really mean anything, but hey, at least in the preseason, some backups, you know.
Force some turnovers.
A couple of them were gifts, but whatever.
That's
it
okay.
Happened. Yeah, it's it happened. Right. So that's a good thing. The backup running backs, which you talked about. That's about it.
You know, Johnny Newton didn't pop.
No.
You know, guys who had opportunities who we do know. But, yeah, preseason underway. We're going to talk to Chris Russell later in the program coming up at 8:25. Get his take. Commanders do get that win, 20-7 over the Miami Dolphins. But, man, it was a lot of guys that are not going to be playing on Sunday in a month.
Yeah. We'll see if that changes on Saturday. By the way, noon kick on Saturday, early.
At nice. Detroit.
At Detroit.
But. We'll be, Cakes, EB and I are going to be doing this. Our heads are going to be flying as.
Oh, my God.
Is it Indy cars? Grand Prix cars? It's not Formula One. I think it's Indy Grand Prix.
Yeah, I think it's Indy cars.
I think that's right.
I think it's IndyCar.
I don't know much about open wheel racing. Yeah. Yeah. Just so you know,
I think it's gonna be cool.
Where's Bender when we need him?
It's gonna be fun.
I think it's gonna be cool.
It's gonna be a new Bender. Experience. I can tell you that.
My that's only very other experience inside. Is when we went to Richmond.
Bender is a guy who used to send us weekly emails about open wheel racing
daughter,
20 years
Eric,
ago.
My daughter sent me a text saying, "Dad, can you get those tickets for the
Grand Prix?"
The Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, I kind of told him no. she wants to bring her boyfriend and her boyfriend's dad. Her boyfriend's dad apparently is a huge F1 fan.
Yeah. Are you afraid to ask because they're going to want you to come? I always hate asking for other
well,
people,
I'm not going.
To be honest with you.
I'm not going.
Yeah. So are you going to hit him up and ask for someone else? I always hate doing that. You're going to burn that?
That looks bad.
It's a bad look. Yeah.
Doesn't that look bad?
It's not the greatest
My son asked me that yesterday. He said, hey, we actually don't really have. He said,
yeah.
He said, me and Keenan and his roommate, we want to take our girlfriends. We want to go to the Seahawks Commanders game. Can you get us tickets?
Yeah.
And I said, actually, that's like the one team really can't get you tickets for.
Yeah.
We don't really have a connection.
So I'm probably not going to ask.
Yeah. Kind of have a connection. You could work it. It's not a guarantee.
The part of it is, I know I could work it. There's a couple things. Mm-hmm. But then when it's not for you, like, can
tougher.
You get me 4 for my son?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just.
Right.
It's harder.
It is.
Like for a Nats game, no problem. You want to go? I get you 4. No problem. Behind home plate.
And those situations can also fracture relationships, which we learned with the homies years and years ago
right?
when they were representing us in London for an HBO trip.
Yeah, you got to have a sit down with people like, you can't act like an idiot if I hook you up with these
Don't
tickets.
Ruin our hook job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, let's dive into Sonny Styles in particular because that was the one guy who did start. And the first drive, Miami shoves it on him. What was your takeaway from Sonny Styles' play? 1-800-636-1067. Our buddy first round mock weighed in. Tell you what he said next.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork,
But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny, August 17th, 2026, all week long at 4 o'clock when we blitz around the Beltway. We'll be blitzing via the Grand Prix. Freedom, 250 Grand Prix tickets, four packs to give away every single day on the show at 4 o'clock. By the way, today at 5 o'clock, Eric Flack, Channel 9 reporter, he's got a bunch of info on PSLs and what they could cost season ticket holders at RFK 2.0. Danny, how was the weekend?
It was very good, my friend. We'll do it at 4 plus 1 o'clock. Got to respect to Jaden Daniels, please, and thank you. But it was mostly pretty good, except for the Nats should never play in the division again. Other than that, I'm good.
They can't beat the NL East.
Yeah, other than that, I'm all set. I mean, what is going on?
I don't know, but I got to be honest. At this point, wins and losses for the Nats don't matter to me
anymore. It is secondary.
I care about, is Cade Cavalli shoving? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Is my guy, Abby Melick Ortiz, going deep? The answer is yes. His fifth homer in sub-15 games yesterday. Got to get James Wood back healthy. The C.J. Abrams move to second is fascinating. It does seem to me like he doesn't want a whole lot to do with that.
Doesn't seem thrilled.
0 for 10 at the plate this weekend and said at his locker when asked about it that he's still a shortstop in his mind. So I got some questions. We'll talk about the Nats off and on throughout the day. But let's get into the news of the day from the Washington Commanders front, which is that the kicking battle is over. The Honorable Kicking Paulson resigning, and I can slam my gavel once and for all. Jake Moody, he gone. Drew Stevens will be your kicker. From what I'm told, he's the guy. They're not moving on for Moody to bring in somebody else to push Stevens, at least going into the season until he proves that he can't do it. Drew Stevens, the rookie out of Iowa with the big leg, will be the place kicker. Throughout training camp, he has decidedly been the better of the two kickers that they had. Moody missed 11 kicks in practices, 36 of 47. Stevens was 43 of 48. Both of them were one for one on their field goal attempts in the preseason game, although Moody's make was basically a miss.
I mean, the doink from 29 yards, enough.
You can't doink from 29 and be happy about it.
No, enough of that guy.
So you got to say goodbye and thank you. He was fired. Drew Stevens will be your place kicker.
So two questions off this for kicking battle, Paulson. Did you want the battle to go on longer just because you like the battle, or is it you're actually, this is the correct call, so that's good?
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. I was having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I could have, I also don't know that there's a benefit to Drew Stevens not having to be pushed the rest of the way.
This is what I was going to.
So I would probably even bring in another street free agent to just kick against him in practice and in the preseason. Why not? Keep pushing him, keep getting more out of him. If it was healthy and good for him to be part of a competition up until now, why not continue to have him compete? But this was always how I wanted this to land. He has a monster leg. We've seen him good from 60 in practice on a kick that would have been good from close to 70. He's told me, you've heard the interview here on Grant and Danny, that anything short of like 65, he doesn't even really have to put any leg into. His longest kick he's ever made in a practice is around 73 yards. This is the dream. This is what I want. Now, he's got to go out and make the kicks, and we'll see if he does. But I've always wanted a kicker with a monster leg in this NFL, and they have one.
So there are free agents, guys with some track records. I think these guys are free agents. Just a quick and dirty search here. Graham Gano, Brandon McManus, Daniel Carlson, all free agents at this point in time. So I'm with you. That's, and you answer my second question. I don't love the idea of just going, you did it. Competition over. We preach competition, except now three quarters of the preseason, we're not going to be doing that. It's a month until we play a real game, so we're not going to compete there anymore. I don't know why you wouldn't bring someone else in. I don't like the idea of slamming the gavel.
It's a good question. I don't know if in their mind it's a bad look to say, hey, this is what you have to do to win this job. Here's your competition. Uh-huh. Outkick him in camp.
And he did. He was better.
And he did. And so now it's almost like you're playing Mario and you win the level, and then you've got another bad guy at another level that you've got to beat, and it feels like you're pulling the rug out from under him a little bit. You told him at the start of this thing, mano a mano, best man wins, sure you'll enough. Be our kicker, and he was clearly the best man. But I don't know, just making good on my promise to my rookie kicker who's never kicked in the league for me before would not be as important as just making sure at the end of this thing, best case scenario in the kicking game.
And that position's unique, too. They don't do that at middle linebacker to the same degree. You know
right.
what I mean?
It's very mental.
It's and there's only one guy at a time, whereas there's a depth chart everywhere else. You don't have more than one kicker on the roster, unless there's some weird emergency where a guy can't do kickoffs and you got to have two guys and it's a big waste and everyone hates that. But for corner, for safety, for tackle, linebacker, et cetera, there's always the depth chart. There's multiple guys. So you've got your answer internally. So there's always competition. There's not at that spot right now. But you're probably right. They did this. We kept our word on it, and he won the competition, so it's his gig. Just, okay, that's one of those awesome way to go on that. You better be correct. You can leave no stone unturned there.
Well, I think the next couple preseason games are going to be really important and really telling, too. You get an opportunity against Detroit to stretch that leg out. And I would say to Dan Quinn, Hey, bud. If you get a chance to kick a 61-yarder, let's not trot out the punter that's never going to punt here. I don't know if it's Hawk or Hack or how to say that name. H-A-A-C-K was punting the other night for Tressway. Mm-hmm. That is the ultimate, let's see what the kid's got kind of moment to kick a field goal. Please do that. And they should do that against Detroit. They should do that against Baltimore. You get as many reps and opportunities to see what he's got as possible. Trot him out for all the extra points. See how that goes. I was very comfortable coming out of camp practices with how he was kicking. But practices are so different than the game. So let's take a peek at that. I was shocked early in the contest that they had a chance to line up for a 60-yard field goal and they pooch punted for field position down 7-0 in that preseason game. Like, that's one of those where it's pretty clear, I know you're smarter than me. I know I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm just a dude on the radio, but we see the world differently, buddy.
Yep. There's a million of those that happen in sports all the time, football most specifically. That's one where I'm going, what's the point of a preseason game?
What are we doing here?
What is the point of it? And the reason I am so high on the joint practice for so many years, and now the entire part of the league is because of that. You go, I would like to see my team, I'm making this up, do goal line offense. Let's go schedule that. Because I'd love to work on goal line defense. Let's do 30 reps of that again with live competition. I want to do third and mediums. So do we. What a fun coincidence. That's the whole point of it. You get one of those rare chances in a game where you line up in a certain way, and of course you can do. And they go, you know what's more important is a guy that will not punt here under any circumstances. Let's get him a look. Wrong.
I will say that keeping Moody around any longer would not have made any sense. 11 miskicked in practices, and it was in a 4-practice span over the last week and change, is pretty asinine. Again, you're kicking against air, effectively, and you're missing. He missed 4 straight kicks in a 6-kick sequence in one practice. And then in the game from 29, shorter than an extra point. That's the equivalent of being at the 11-yard line, and he doinked it in. It's over at that point. Like, mentally, something is not right. You're askew. It's a golf game, and you've lost your swing path. I got to move on. So the question is then, do you bring in someone else to deal with Stevens and compete with him, or is he just the guy, and they're going with the kid? So fired up, happy for him. I wanted the big leg. I say this all the time, but in today's NFL, to quote the ancient philosopher Joe Jackson Gibbs, up here, as he used to say, at this point, I need someone who can boot a 60-yard field goal. I'm starting at the 30 or the 35 pretty frequently. I'm a dig route away from midfield. I'm now less than a first down. I'm 2 runs and an incompletion on 3rd and 4 away from a 60-yard field goal with one little pop pass behind a linebacker for 16 and then a couple runs and a punt. 5-play drive for 23 yards or whatever, and your boy is now lining up for a 60-ish yard field goal. I need to be able, not all the time, because occasionally you'll want to pin a team deep. You might want to play the field position game. You got one of the better punters in the league at pinning people inside the 20. if my defense is good this year, which it has a chance to be,
right.
It's been a funny joke around here for the last couple years.
Big but F, but it could be, yes.
Might be pretty decent. I'll just pin people deep. But at the end of a half, if I want 3 points, if I want to steal points from someone, I need a leg. And they have not had that guy. The numbers, by the way, at the kicking position for this team are really rough. I don't know if you've seen these, but Nikki Javala of The Athletic had this today. Drew Stevens is the 20th kicker the Commanders have signed since 2020. I'm going to say that again.
Wow.
6 years of football. He is the 20th kicker that they have signed. And if he kicks in a game, this is an insane stat. He will be the 8th kicker for the Commanders to kick in a game since 2024. That's two seasons.
That's a joke.
Plus one game. He'll be the 8th kicker. That is absolutely preposterous.
And that's with Dustin Hopkins doing every kick in 2020, I think, if memory serves. I think every time foot went to ball, it was Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah, that's possible.
Then it was Rivera's rotating cast, and we were on this carousel.
But I'm just talking about 2024 on. So the 24 season when you get to the NFC title game, and then last year in week one, in 2 years plus 1 week, he'll be the 8th kicker that this team has used.
Yeah, insane.
You just hope that they've gotten it right. But enough about kicking for a moment. Let's talk about preseason game one on Friday night because we haven't had the chance to. I guess the first thing to start with is Marcus Mariota. That was scary, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
He goes down. He's grabbing at his knee. There's some fear of a CL, some type of L in that knee. Is it an ACL, an MCL, a PCL, an RCL, a TCL? Turns out it's going to be okay. He's only out for the rest of the preseason. Even though everyone's acting like that's a nothing burger, that's a lot of Sam Hartman trying to help you evaluate wide receivers. That's a lot of Ethan Kaliakmanis trying to help get looks for guys at the back of the roster that you're trying to see if they belong or they don't. Especially if you're not going to play Jaden Daniels at all or just in one drive.
Or barely a little, yeah.
So that is still a significant loss, I think, even from a preseason standpoint. But the key to me was just making sure he's ready for week one. It sounds like that's going to be the case. This was Dan Quinn talking with the media on a Zoom call yesterday because the team didn't do anything. They also didn't practice today, by the way. It's been a lot of not practicing of late. This was Dan Quinn today.
We're optimistic that for the regular season at the start that he'll be ready at that time. And at this time, no, we don't anticipate anybody else coming in. So it'll allow more reps over the next couple weeks with Sam and Ethan in that spot.
I think if there was any thought that he might not be ready for the first game, they would be working out quarterbacks today, and they'd be signing some veteran. I'm just going to say Jimmy Garoppolo as a placeholder. But they'd be signing somebody
right, to come in from here. That tier.
Because they're not doing that, they obviously are very confident Mariota will be active against the Eagles in Philly in week one.
Yeah, that's the sense I get. So, you know, I kind of there's a million different ways to sort of read it and react to it. The fact that they're not concerned, I guess, is good. But again, you sort of lost your injury-related decision-making trust from me. Not that they care about that, but when we still haven't ever heard confirmation that Jaden Daniels had a broken rib, he had to like go on some sort of weird Twitch stream to tell people that, yeah, that's actually what happened, or whatever, there's always murkiness around it. So, you know, until we get a good sort of, hey, we were right about this, and it really was a two-week thing, and he was good to go and fine and dandy. But yeah, I mean, the other part is kind of the thing I want to focus on. So let's just take him at their word that he'll be fine and no need to kind of make any adjustments. It's a lot of third and fourth quarterbacking, whichever one, however you want to tier that, Hartman or Kaliakmanis. And someone like Luke McCaffrey is affected by that. Now, McCaffrey wasn't involved in game one barely at all. Is that a, he wasn't open? Is that a, they already know what they got? Is that a, maybe he was open and they couldn't get him the ball because we're third and fourth quarterbacks and that's the thing that we do as third and fourth quarterbacks? That affects people down the roster. For sure.
Yeah, it does. It's not ideal, but what I care about is the regular season. What I care about is that Marcus Mariota is available if and when you need him against the Eagles in week one, mm-hmm. if something were to happen to Jaden Daniels, because you cannot play Hartman, we know that, and you shouldn't be playing a seventh rounder in Kaliakmanis. Now, speaking of those two quarterbacks, we saw a lot of them in this preseason game. Hartman looks way better in this offense because he can get him bootlegged and moving around and you can use some of that athleticism that he's got. He's actually better probably keeping the football and running it sometimes than throwing it. I think he's a punching bag and people have kind of already decided he can't play or whatever, so everyone's going to make fun of pretty much everything he does. He had the one bad interception for sure.
And it was bad.
Deami Brown, that's a bad ball. But overall, I thought 8 of 15 with that pick. Like you can tell this is a better offense for him. And yet, this is not a quarterback that's going to play in the league. And that's been known now. They told us that. That's not my opinion. That's right. Their opinion. On Christmas Day last year, when you need a quarterback, and Hartman's been in your building for a couple of years, and you say, not you, in a lost season where the game doesn't matter, and you go sign 40-year-old Josh Johnson, you're telling me that you don't trust that player.
Yeah. You shot the flare gun up and let me know.
Kali Akmanis was interesting. I find him to be... So, first off, he spun it pretty well. I thought the ball came out. He threw it downfield, pushed it downfield okay. He was certainly a little more decisive, climbed the pocket pretty well. I thought the way he navigated the pocket was decent, climbing upwards, making throws. He is clearly an unathletic pocket passer, though.
Yes.
That's what I take out of watching him, both the Rutgers tape, if you want to call it that, his highlight sizzle reel, and then this game is... A Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, minus some of the mobility and the athleticism from those guys, where he is going to be in the pocket. It's almost like a Brady-esque feel to, he's not going anywhere. You know where he's going to be. So you better be uber decisive. You better be Drew Breesian with your anticipatory throws. I was impressed overall with how he threw the ball, but I think when your defensive front wins against him, you've won the play.
Yeah, a couple sacks and 12 dropbacks tells you part of that story. Just as you said, it doesn't have the Ramsey heat-seeking gene for defenders, but closer to that. You know, as you said, when he had time, pat the football once and spun it, it was more impressive than Hartman. But it's just, this to me is just not what I would major in for my third quarterback. My emergency QB needs to be I always think of it as the Doug Flutie tier, where it's like, the plane has crashed into the mountain. I'm trying to survive to see if I can get some help back. Run around and make me a play or two. I mean, the guy that played in the Hall of Fame game for Carolina, for example, Haynes King. I have no idea if that guy's going to be a starter. In fact, I do. Probably not going to be a starter in the league. That's the kind of dude I would major in for my third quarterback.
Playmaker.
Just a guy that, again, we can do some backyard football, get away with it for a possession or two, and hope for the best and pray for rain.
Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah. This is just not what I would do.
Everyone's had a buddy who dates the same type of girl over and over and over again, and then he just goes completely off type, so to speak. So it's like always like, oh, really active. We like to climb and go in, you know, the wilderness and camp out and do all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, this girl hates leaving the house and just wants to be in the home or whatever. And you're like, that's different than all the girls you've dated.
It's totally different.
I have a hard time wondering. So you have Jaden Daniels, Mariota, who's kind of like that. Hartman, who moves all over and is an athlete and wants to keep the ball and run it on boots and stuff. Kali Akmanis is not like any of those other guys. So it's just interesting to me that they watched him and said, him. Now this is a guy we're really, really intrigued by, you know?
Yes.
But is what it is. Mariota will be back. Daniels hopefully will play against Detroit. We'll talk about that later in the show. How good were the kid running backs, specifically Robert Henry? Allen was a big plodding physical thumper like you'd expect. Had the really nice 16-yard run where he broke three tackles, started to get it going after Henry had showed something, and he went for 85 on 23 attempts. That was like a Penn State-like workload for
him. Yes, it was.
That was a full day at the office. But this Robert Henry kid, the undrafted free agent from UTSA, 22-yard touchdown, jab step to set it up at the line of scrimmage, watching back the all-22, the amount of holes he hit and the vision he had to kind of patiently jump behind someone, wait for something to develop, I was super impressed.
Hard not to be, right? I mean, this is the Danny Ruye school of running backing. I want this. Now, every once in a while, you can have that plus a guy that, you know, has world class track speed. You've got a Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs. You've got to pay $20 million a year for him. This is that shifty with a little bit of power and vision that I think you can just that almost grows on trees. It's the Austin Eckler kind of school of running back. I don't know how he can catch the ball or not. That's kind of the unique skill set. But in terms of running, this is what I'm after. Now, coaches love Catron Allen. Like, I can't imagine watching both those guys get carries and go, we need to make sure we've got more room for Allen to get the football more. Now, there's a role for that guy on my team, the old, if I'm running things. Warren Sharp had this great stat. I didn't realize this was true. No one's had that many carries without a negative carry in a preseason game, like in forever, whatever the number was. And you could see it. You go, oh, I get that. He's always falling forward. He's tough as nails. So there's room for that guy on my team.
No wasted movement in the backfield.
But my God, is it so much more exciting and intriguing and dangerous to have a Robert Henry in that shiftiness?
Totally. I'm a Henry guy, and that's the kind of back I want as well. Give me the Gibbs over the Montgomery every time. But I think this is one of the biggest disconnects between the real world, reality, football, and like the fantasy community, where they would say every carry for the non-Jahmyr Gibbs is a waste of time because he can score a touchdown on every carry. And it's like people screaming about using Luis Garcia against left-handed pitching or something. And it's like, well, part of why he's been so effective is that you're not exposing him left on left and getting him out of his rut. You know, yep. Part of it, like there is some truth in the way of life that people don't understand. And Robert Henry's better off with Catron Allen wearing a defense down and getting 23 of those 35 carries where you're tired of being run into and you're tired of having a sledgehammer driven into your chest and helmet. And now Henry hits you with that speed and that quickness, and it makes him that much more effective. But I thought he was really, really good. We like to, on this show, for those of you that are new to Grant and Danny after games, we like to give out game balls for the players that impress us the most and gassers, the lap that they have to take, for guys that don't or something that we didn't like. So in the interest of getting everybody into regular season form, let's go game balls and gassers next for the best and the worst from Friday night's preseason activity. The first dose of game action for the Commanders. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to join us. Who gets your game ball and who gets your gasser? You're listening to G&D on the Fan.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.